Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
All right, well, today it's Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. This is the Daily Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. I am your host for the day, $2 Bill Josh. Tom is out meeting with sponsors, so he will be unable to join us. Today we're going to talk a little bit of NBA, a little bit of college, basketball, football, and a little bit about the NFL. So last night in the NBA, Pacers 111, 76ers 103. Good to see the Pacers get a road win. That was their first road win since November 30th. Danny Granger had 27 points. Darren Collison had 21 points and 13 assists for the Indiana Pacers. Tyler Hansbrough continues to play his strong play at power forward with 12 points and 9 rebounds. Looks like he has power forward spot on lockdown for the Indiana Pacers. Mike Dunleavy had 20 for the Pacers, including 15 in the first quarter. Jrue Holiday had 19 for the Sixers. Indiana proves to 15-20. Philadelphia falls to 15-23. The Pacers and Mavs play tonight at 7 p.m. at Conseco Fieldhouse. Pacers in or off a win, and the Mavericks are having a little cold the last couple of weeks. Wizards 136, the Kings 133 in overtime. Nick Young had a career-high 43 points for the Washington Wizards. Udrow and Garcia had 26 points each for the Sacramento Kings. Washington blew a 6-point lead in the final 14 seconds of regulation. Washington improves to 10-26, and Sacramento falls to 8-27. The Spurs continue to be hot as they beat the Timberwolves 107-96. Manu Ginobili had 19 points, probably the MVP of the NBA right now. Kevin Love had 20 points and 20 rebounds, his sixth 20-20 game of the season. It's a shame nobody's talked about us because he's on the Timberwolves, who are in 30 if he was on a better team. He'd be one of the most talked about plays in the NBA. And in the third quarter, the Timberwolves were called for 5 technicals in 10 seconds, and Manu Ginobili hit all 5 technical shot free throws. Spurs improved to 32-6, and like I just mentioned, the Timberwolves are 9-30. Denver 132, Phoenix 98. Carmelo Anthony had 28 points. Aaron Aflalo had 31 for the Denver Nuggets. A strong game for Carmelo Anthony, considering all the trade speculation and the pressure that I'm sure is affecting him right now. Steve Nash had 15 for the Phoenix Suns. Denver was down 12 after the first quarter and outscored the Suns by 42 points during the second and third quarter. Denver improved to 21-16, and Phoenix falls to 15-21. The LA Lakers 112, Cleveland Cavaliers 57. Yes, that's right, I said 57 points, and that is through the entire game. Artest and Bynum had 15 points each. Paul Gasol had 13 points and 14 rebounds for the Lakers. Alonzo Gee had 12 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Lakers are up 92-41 at the end of the third quarter. Lakers are pretty 28-11. Cleveland falls to 8-30. And based on last night, they're, and just the season as a whole, the Cavaliers are the worst team in the NBA. The Knicks 100, the Portland Trailblazers 86. Amari Stoudemire had 23 points and 8 rebounds for the Knicks. LaMarcus Aldridge had 19 points and 10 rebounds for the Blazers. That's Stoudemire's 22nd consecutive game with at least 20 points. New York falls to 22-15, and Portland falls to 20-19. The latest on the Carmelo Anthony trade, it is being held up. The Nuggets are trying to find a team to take the contract of Al Harrington, who has 7 years, $28 million left. It appears nobody wants the deal. The Nuggets have also told the Nets to keep the trade talk quiet, or the trade will not go through. I personally don't see this trade happening. We will continue to follow it on the bounce and the wrap-up. Carmelo has said many, many times he doesn't want to play in New Jersey. He'd rather play with the Knicks. So if you go ahead and trade for Carmelo Anthony, and there's no guarantee he's going to sign a contract extension, and you're giving up all those hairs and favors and 2 first-round picks You're taking a huge risk that could set your franchise back easily at least a decade. I just, at the end of the day, don't see this trade going through. Four must-see NBA games tonight. Knicks and the Jazz at 9 p.m. Bulls, Bobcats at 7. Magic, Hornets at 8. And Heat, Clippers at 10:30. Last night in NCAA, number 9, UConn, 67. Rutgers, 53. Oroki had 17 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 blocks for the Huskies. Poole had 11 points and 10 rebounds for Rutgers. UConn was up 32-27 at halftime. They went on a 20-2 run to start the second half. UConn improves to 13-2, 2-2 in the Big East. Rutgers falls to 10-6, 1-3 in the Big East. John Calipari continues to keep it rolling down in the Bluegrass State. His number 15 UK beat Auburn 78-54. Terrence Jones set a freshman record at the University of Kentucky with 35 points, breaking the record set by Deron Lamb in December when Lamb had 32 points. Alex Payne had 15 for Auburn. 10 minutes into the game, UK had a 19-point lead. UK improves to 13-3, 1-1 in the SEC. Auburn improves to 7-9, 0-2 in the SEC. They don't quite have the magic that their football team had this year. In a thrilling game in the Big Ten, number 24, Michigan State, 64. Number 21, Wisconsin, 61 in overtime. Draymond Green had 26 points for the Spartans, and Jordan Taylor had 21 for the Badgers. Michigan State went on a 9-0 run to end regulation. Michigan State improves to 11-5, 3-1 in the Big Ten. Wisconsin falls to 12-4, 2-2 in the Big Ten. In the state of Texas, in a rivalry game, number 14, Texas, 83, Texas Tech, 52. Tristan Thompson had 20 points for Texas. Lindowski had 13 for Texas Tech. Texas out-rebounded Tech, 42-23. Tech continues to struggle under Pat Knight. They're 8-9, 0-2 in the Big 12. Texas improves to 13-3, 1-0. It's very impressive considering they're playing freshmen a whole lot of minutes. Number 10, BYU, 104, Utah, 79. Jimmy Fredette had 47 points for the Cougars. And he passed Danny Ainge for the most 30-point games in BYU history. Clyburn had 23 points for the Utes. This is their last time meeting as members of the Mountain West Conference. Utah's going to the Pac-12 next year. And BYU is going to join the West Coast Conference, which also features Gonzaga and St. Mary's. BYU improves to 17-1, 3-0. Utah falls to 7-10 and 0-3. Another game in the Big Ten, this time an upset. Penn State 57, number 16, Illinois 55. Taylor Battle had a strong night for the Nittany Lions with 26 points. Mike Tisdale had 16 points and 14 rebounds for the Illini. Andrew Jones did a layup with 1 second left to give Penn State the 57-55 win. Their second consecutive win over a top 25 team. Penn State improves to 10-6, 3-2. Illinois falls to 13-4, 3-1. There are several Big Ten games as well as top 25 games tonight. Number 2, Ohio State plays Michigan at 6:30 on the Big Ten Network. Should be a great game, even though Ohio State's ranked number 2 in the country. That's a big rivalry game. A matchup of top 25 teams. Number 5, Pittsburgh goes to number 19, Georgetown. That's at 7 p.m. on the SDN2. Number 12, Mizzou plays Nebraska, who's 13-2, a surprising 13-2 at 7 p.m. Number 17, Louisville goes to number 7, Villanova, and a matchup of top 25 in Big East powers at 7 p.m. on ESPN2. Number 4, Syracuse plays St. John's at 7 p.m. on ESPNU. Number 23, Temple plays St. Bonaventure at 7:30. Number 13, Texas A&M plays Oklahoma State at 8 p.m. Number 1, Duke plays Florida State at 9 p.m. on ESPN. Duke looks to remain undefeated. And then a team game we features a team we talked a little bit about on Saturday. Number 3, Kansas plays Iowa State, who's now 13-3, 0-1 in the Big East, 0-1 in the Big 12. But that's very impressive. They're under first-year head coach Fred Hoiberg, whose nickname is DeMayor. He only has 10 players on the roster, 8 of which are scholarship, 2 of which are walk-ons off the football team. So he can really only go 8 deep. nobody expected Iowa State to win 13 games all year, let alone be 13-3 after 16 games. It should be a tough matchup for the Cyclones tonight. Although you got to give Fred Hoiberg credit, he's winning at Iowa State with very little talent and very little depth off the bench to get it done with. It'd be a huge upset if they could knock off Kansas tonight. Number 20, Kansas State plays Colorado at 9 p.m. on ESPNU. And Tom's favorite collegiate team, number 6, San Diego State, plays UNLV at 10 p.m. Look for San Diego State to be a Final Four team. Their team's not really getting too much talk. Even though they're 17-0, ranked number 6 in the country, they should probably be ranked a little higher than that. They're one of, if not the best team in America, and I think they can play with anybody on a given night. I definitely look for the Aztecs to make it to the Final Four. Moving on over to college football, Auburn, Oregon has 27.3 million viewers, the highest cable audience ever. And yesterday, the University of Michigan lost one of their candidates, but they hired a great fit. LSU's Les Miles met with the University of Michigan on Monday. Yesterday, he announced that he was returning to LSU as long as he could get the full support of the LSU Athletic Administration. Once he was given that, he announced he was returning to LSU. The University of Michigan hired San Diego State head coach Brady Hoke to fill the same role at the University of Michigan. That's a great fit for Brady Hoke. He was the defensive line coach under former Michigan coach Lloyd Carr from 1995 through 2002. He spent 6 years at Ball State University. His final year at Ball State, he led him to a 12-1 regular season before he was hired away by San Diego State. He spent 2 years there. This year, he went 9-4 at San Diego State, taking him to a 9-4 record in the Poinsettia Bowl. He has a career record of 47-51, but he's won at Ball State. He's won at San Diego State. Michigan fans are going to have to give him a little bit of time, but he will win at Michigan. He wants the spread, but maybe not to the extent that Rich Rodriguez did. He'll definitely get the defense short up there. He's proven he's a great recruiter. He says it's his dream job, and I think it's a great hire for the University of Michigan. Once again, this is a daily wrap-up on Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. We are a production of The Balance. Saturday, I will be joined by Tom for The Balance. We have to move it back a little bit. We have a little bit of business we have to take care of for The Balance. We do not have a definite time yet. We will get that information to you as soon as it is available. Also, later today, I will have a blog coming out featuring my NBA power rankings, my NCAA Top 25, a preview of this weekend's NFL divisional round playoff games, and just random sports thoughts. Moving on to the NFL, the Denver Broncos cannot find their head coach. Mike Mularkey's turned him down. Jim Harbaugh's turned him down. Greg Williams has turned him down. Today they're meeting with former Panthers coach John Fox. I believe part of the reason the Broncos are having a hard time finding a coach is, granted, John Elway has a big name in the National Football League. He's a Hall of Famer. He's certainly one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game of football. But he's never been an NFL executive before, so he's a legend and a rookie. And then a quarterback for the Broncos, you're going to be stuck with Tim Tebow, whether you want him as your quarterback or not. He's so popular in Denver that even if you brought in a rookie quarterback, i.e. Cam Newton, Blaine Gabbert, Ryan Mallett, Jake Locker, Tim Tebow would be so much more popular than that you would be forced to play Tim Tebow. So it's just a very difficult situation to hire a coach into. Granted, Denver loves their football. They have a great stadium. They have a great owner. There's plenty of talent already on that team. It's believed that their two favorite candidates, like I said, are former Panthers coach John Fox, who did an outstanding job in Carolina. He did take the Panthers to the Super Bowl. They ultimately lost that game, as well as two other playoff runs in Carolina.
and that's with an expansion team. So he did a great job there. Or Rick Dennison, who nobody outside of Denver is really familiar with. He's believed to be John Elway's guy. So either Elway needs to hire him or it's come out and announce that Rick Dennison's not his guy. You got to believe that plays a part in people not wanting to interview with the Broncos for their head coaching position because they believe potentially that John Elway's already made up his mind. At the end of the day, I think it'll end up being John Fox taking the job with the Denver Broncos. Yesterday, the Carolina Panthers got their guy. They hired San Diego defensive coordinator Ron Rivera to be their new head coach. Ron Rivera is 49 years old. He spent some time with the Bears. I believe he played on the 85 Bears. This past season, his San Diego defense was number one in the NFL and number one in pass defense in the National Football League. So that's a great hire for the Carolina Panthers. You'll certainly get that defense playing at a top 10 defense in the National Football League level. But his biggest issue as the new Panthers head coach is at quarterback and offensive line, as the Carolina Panthers offense only has 16 total touchdowns this season. A large part of the reason they went 2-14. Look for him to draft Nick Farley, defensive tackle out of Auburn, with the number one pick in the NFL draft, as there'll be plenty of free agent quarterbacks and quarterbacks you could trade for. There'll be Michael Vick, look for Donovan McNabb, look for Kevin Cobb. Tavares Jackson's not the guy in Minnesota. So there'll be plenty of veteran quarterbacks you could pick up where you don't have to draft one with the number one pick in the NFL. Or maybe Ron Rivera feels that Jimmy Clausen is his guy if he can get him to play a little bit better at the quarterback position. The Cleveland Browns are trying to decide between John Schumer, the St. Louis Rams offensive coordinator, and Perry Fuels, the New York Giants defensive coordinator. Either one of those guys would be a great hire for the Cleveland Browns. Also, don't rule out Mike Holmgren stepping down out of the GM position and naming himself head coach. He said he's not inclined to do it at the moment, but he has not 100% ruled that possibility out. Whoever it is, well, here, there's some pieces in Cleveland. They have Peyton Hillis. And they got some other nice pieces on the defensive side of the football. Granted, they're a few years away from being a serious playoff contender, but there's some pieces to work with in Cleveland. The Oakland Raiders haven't even really begun looking for a head coach. It is expected that offensive coordinator Hugh Jackson will take over for the fire of Tom Cable. That would be a great hire for the Oakland Raiders, as they're not going to get one of the big-name coaches. He was actually brought to Oakland. He did develop Jason Campbell this year that the Raiders went 8-8. They're not that far away from being a playoff contender. Moving on over to the NFL playoffs this weekend, though. Saturday at 4:30, you got Troy Polamalu, Ben Roethlisberger, Hines Ward, Mike Tomlin, and the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting Joe Flacco, Anquan Boldin, Ray Rice. And Lewis, this is going to be a hard-hitting, low-scoring, knock-em-out, drag-em-around football game. They split the regular season meetings. Both games were decided by a field goal, so nobody's going to get blown out here. You know, Flacco and Harbaugh have won every year they've been to the playoffs. They're used to winning on the road. They've proven they can win on the road. They went into the Arrowhead Stadium, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. On the other hand, Ben Roethlisberger is a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Mike Tomlin's won the Super Bowl as a head coach. I think this game is going to come down to which running back has a better game, which quarterback can come up with a passing touchdown. I don't think you'll see more than one passing touchdown by either team. I think quite possibly who has the ball last. And a game that should be this close and this tight, there's a good chance it comes down to whoever has the ball last will win the football game. It should certainly be a great game. It's a must-see football, especially if you like defensive football. I look for the Baltimore Ravens to win 21-18. Saturday at 8 p.m., you have Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers going into Atlanta to the Georgia Dome to take on Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons. You know, it was an impressive win for the Green Bay Packers last week over Michael Vick's Philadelphia Eagles. They shut Michael Vick down. They basically had their way with Cleveland. Their defense stepped up. They got a little bit of running game going. But they're in the Georgia Dome, which is the Atlanta Falcons' home stadium in the playoffs. The Atlanta Falcons have the NFC's number one seed. Matt Ryan is cool under pressure. They can run the football. They got a great defense. They don't turn the ball over too much. This game's going to come down to which team can win the turnover battle, has the better day running the football. And I think whoever has the lead at halftime in this game will win this game. This is a chance for Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers to both create a bigger legacy, for Aaron Rodgers to take another step out of the Brett Favre shadow in Green Bay. It's a chance for Matt Ryan to put his stamp on the Atlanta Falcons franchise. Also for Mike Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, put his stamp on the Atlanta Falcons franchise. I'm going to pick the Atlanta Falcons to win this game 28-24. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock, you have the Chicago Bears and the Seattle Seahawks in Soldier Field. You know, going into last weekend, there was a lot of talk that the 7-9 Seahawks didn't belong in the NFL playoffs. They went out. They played with the New Orleans Saints. For the most part, they had that game. They kind of dominated that game. You know, Marshawn Lynch had a playoff run that you're going to see on replays as long as people are replaying NFL playoff replays. They have nothing to lose. Matt Hasselbeck is a veteran, proven quarterback. They've already went into Chicago and beat the Bears in week 6. They're certainly capable of going into Soldier Field and playing with the Bears. You know, but you hear it say a lot on the wrap-up, never bet against a team with absolutely nothing to lose, which is what the Seahawks are. All the pressure's on Lovie Smith and that Bears defense. You know, the Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler, he's never won a playoff game. He has a tendency to turn the ball over a lot, which he kind of stopped doing this year. But I'm not ready to say that I fully believe in Jay Cutler as a quarterback yet. So the pressure's on the Bears' running game, special teams and defense. All the pressure's on the Chicago Bears. They're at home. There's no pressure on the Seattle Seahawks. They can just show up and play football for 60 minutes. And if they win, they win. And if they lose, they lose. Pete Carroll's going to have his Seahawks ready. I'm just not sold on Jay Cutler. So I'm going to pick the Seattle Seahawks to beat the Chicago Bears 28-24. And move on to the NFC Championship game. And then Sunday at 4:30, you have Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez, LaDainian Tomlinson, and the New York Jets going into New England, to Foxborough, to Gillette Stadium, take on Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Deion Branch, Danny Woodhead, and the New England Patriots. You know, there's already a lot of talk about Rex Ryan saying it's personal between him and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick coming back at Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan coming back at Bill Belichick. The New York Jets players kind of think it's absurd. They're saying it's just Rex being Rex. You know, these two teams split their regular season meetings. But in the game in December, the New England Patriots beat the Jets 45-3 at New England. That day, the Jets had poor coaching, poor playing, poor passing, poor tackling, poor catching, poor attitude. I believe it was a huge win for Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan in the New York Jets last Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium to oust Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts from the playoffs. But this is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Brady's a 3-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, a 2-time Super Bowl MVP. Bill Belichick's won the Super Bowl 3 times. And they're in Foxborough. I would love to say I picked the New York Jets, and I picked the New York Jets the last 2 days, but the more I look at the numbers and I look at the trends and the tendencies of these two teams, it appears the New England Patriots are just a more talented team. They're tired of hearing the Jets talk about them. But I am going to go ahead and pick the New York Jets to win this game 28-25. I'm not sold on the New England Patriots. I think they're the better team. And if these teams played 10 times, the Patriots would win 8 of them. I just have a feeling that Sunday, Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez are going to come up with the win one more time. and are going to go into Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, where I expect the Ravens to win the AFC Championship game. I have Packers, Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, which again would be in Seattle. My Super Bowl pick at the moment is Packers, Ravens. But at this point in the time, any one of these eight teams can make the Super Bowl. Any one of these eight teams can win the Super Bowl. It should be an outstanding week for NFL football. So go to the store, buy your pizza, buy your chips, buy your beer. Find your local sports bar to go to. Make sure you watch Saturday at 4:30, Steelers-Ravens, and then at 8, Packers-Falcons, and then Sunday at 1, Bears-Seahawks, and then at 4:30, Jets-Patriots. It should be a great week in NFL playoff football. Once again, this is a daily wrap-up for Wednesday, January 12, 2011. I'm your host, $2 Bill Josh. Tom is out meeting with sponsors. Some other sports-related news. MLB all-time saves leader Trevor Hoffman has retired after 18 seasons with 601 career saves. And Major League Soccer will hold its annual college and amateur player draft, which this year has been reduced to 3 rounds from 4 on Thursday in Baltimore at noon Eastern. The first round will be live on ESPN2. The last 2 rounds will be on MLSsoccer.com. And then for those of you who follow American soccer, Freddie Adu, who's now 21 years old, is on trial with the German second division club. Adu, who is under contract to Benfica of Portugal until 2012 after signing with the club in 2007, has played on loan to clubs in France, Portugal, and Greece. So it should be a great day for NBA basketball. There's plenty of top 25 action going on tonight. Over in the NHL, tonight Pittsburgh plays in Montreal. Pittsburgh enters this game 26-14-4 at 56 points. Montreal enters this game at 23-16-3 with 49 points. The Penguins continue to play without Sidney Crosby. They're 0-3 without Crosby. We need a win. I'm a huge Penguins fan. For those of you who tune into the wrap-up and the bounce, you already knew that. Washington plays Tampa Bay. Washington enters the game at 24-12-6 with 54 points. Behind Tampa Bay, who has the lead in the division at 25-13-5 with 55 points. So the division lead in the Southeast Conference division of the American, or the Eastern Conference, rather, is up for grabs. The Avalanche, who enter the game at 22-15-6 with 50 points, play at the Blackhawks, who enter the game at 23-18-3 with 49 points. At 8:30, and the Blues play at Anaheim at 10. The Blues enter at 20-15-6, 46 points. Anaheim enters at 23-18-4, at 50 points. There's a lot going on in the NBA, the NHL, and college basketball tonight. If I could tell you what to watch, I would say to tune in to ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU. Pitt, number 5, Pitt plays number 19, Georgetown at 7 on ESPN. At 9 on ESPN is Duke, Florida State. Louisville, Villanova at 7 on ESPN2. At 9 is Kansas, Iowa State. On ESPNU, you have Syracuse and St. John's. And Kansas State and Colorado. Once again, this has been the wrap-up for January 12, 2011. I'm your host, $2 Bill Josh. Tom, will we join us tomorrow? Pacers play Mavericks at 7. So there's plenty to choose on TV tonight. Once again, this is your daily wrap-up, and you have been wrapped up for Wednesday, January 12, 2011.